But Jim Rader passed away a short time back. He and I both loved that song, Beautiful Land. He beat me there, but I'll not be far behind. You know, time goes by so fast. We'd invite you to turn with us tonight to the book of John, chapter 8. As you're turning there, I want to express my appreciation to the pastor and church here for inviting us to come and preach in this conference. It has been a blessing. The preaching of God's word, prayers, songs, congregational and spatial songs. If you have been through this and haven't been blessed, brother, there is something wrong with your heart.
Amen.
The Bible told us in Ephesians chapter 2 that he has raised us up together.
Amen.
And hath made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. And brother, I believe this is a heavenly place. I believe this is a holy place. I believe if the Lord would give me spiritual eyes tonight, I'd be able to see the multitude of angels that are present here this evening. And I have no doubt in my mind that the Holy Spirit of God is abiding on this service. Wonderful service. We want to thank the church for the privilege of being here. The ladies for the good meals. I've never met any Baptist women who couldn't cook. The problem of it is I like food too well, so it adds on pretty fast. If you have trouble understanding me this evening, I'm from the foothills of West Virginia. And if you have trouble understanding me, it'll be because I'm just too far north. It's not your problem. It's my problem. Brother Don asked me, he said, I guess it was because I'm in West Virginia. He said, brother, you have a GPS? And I said, yes, I have. I've got a GPS. I've got a gorgeous personal secretary. And she sits over here on my right with the map and directions, and she keeps me straight. 47 years ago, I thought she was gorgeous. We was both lost at that time. I didn't know the half of it. I didn't know the half of it. She's more gorgeous today than she's ever been. Brother Gordon told me that I didn't have to rush. I don't want to keep you an extra long time. I would like to announce that the Voice in the Wilderness paper that is published by the authority of the Desi Baptist Church. And I told you I pastor the Desi Baptist Church, and that's true. I also pastor two other little churches, and that's little in the hills there in West Virginia. Desi Baptist, Unity Baptist Church, and Steerun Baptist Church. I've been at Unity for 32 years. I've been at the other two for 30 years. Lord has blessed us, and we are thankful that he has placed us there. But the Desi Baptist Church authorized many years ago the publication of a paper called The Voice in the Wilderness. We've been editing that paper for the last 31 years. And it came to my attention that maybe our leaders needed to hear some of the things that we're hearing preached in the churches. We are planning right now to put out at least one, and probably more than one, special edition of The Voice. And I've already given 732 addresses to the Spencer newspaper that does our printing. It will be all of the national leaders, Congress and Senate, the White House, the Supreme Court, all the governors in all the states, and then also all the legislators in West Virginia, because that's where we live at. If this materializes, as we pray that it will, and anybody in any other state would see it and want to send their legislators in their state the same thing, we would try to work it out. If you could pay the expense to do it, we'd try to work it out with you to get it done. But that'd be entirely up to you. My request this evening is all of you men here who are prone to write, who maybe enjoy writing, and you've got a message for the leaders of this country, we would be more than glad to get the articles. And even if you don't want to write for that, we've always welcomed articles for the Voice in the Wilderness for consideration. So we'd like for you to think about that this evening, and if there's any questions about it, feel free to ask me. I'll be glad to talk to you about it and tell you more about it, all that I can. So I'd ask you to pray for that endeavor. Someone says, you know, half those papers won't get to the leaders. I don't know.
Right.
I know God is sovereign in the mail, too. There may be people who will want to try to cut those papers off before they get there. God is sovereign in that too. God can take a little paper like that or a short article, and he can use it to his own glory and honor and his purpose. So we're adoring it. We stand in these walls and we talk about Washington and our leaders, and we complain and bellyache, and it don't get any farther than the walls of this building or the building up home. I think it's about time we let them know.
Amen.
In a scriptural, biblical, respectful, but plain and bold way, the things that we believe is wrong with America.
Amen.
Abortion is a terrible thing.
You're right, amen.
And I'm going to get too far into this. Abortion is a terrible thing. I abhor it. It grieves me that we murder 1.5 million of our babies every year. It grieves me. I'm grieved over the way that our leaders have allowed the homosexual group to push their agenda off on the majority. I'm grieved at that. But you know what? Those are just symptoms of the problem. The problem is that we have turned away from God. And this nation is never going to do any better until it turns back to God. So that's what I pray for. I ask you to pray for that too, and I'm sure many of you are. I'm going to leave it there, because if I get into that too much, I really get sort of all tore up over it. I'm going to tell you one more thing, and this is for your benefit. If I see any heads droop while I'm preaching, I add 5 more minutes onto my message. So, every head I see droop, 5 more minutes. If you drop something on the floor, don't bend over and pick it up, because I'll think your head is drooping. Okay? Just wait till the message is over. Bless your heart. John chapter 8, pray for me. John chapter 8 and verse 30. This is a scripture that you all, any Bible student, knows. We just want to talk about some basic truths here this evening. He said, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin.
Amen.
And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed."
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, as we bow before you this evening, we thank you so much for thy word that has been preached here, for the wonderful songs of Zion that have been sung, the prayers that have been offered up. How delightful, Father, it has been to sit here in the presence of the work of thy Holy Spirit and have his blessings poured out upon us. We thank you and praise you for it. We just ask now that you would be with us as we look into your word. Guide and direct us, Father. Give us liberty. Give us clarity of mind. Help us, Father. Just take us and use us this evening as weak and unworthy of a lump of clay as we are, and use us, Father, to the glory and honor of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Use us, Father, we might be a blessing to those here this evening. We know that you're able to do that. We just pray that Christ would be honored in every heart this evening. We pray, Father, that you continue to bless the church here and pastor. Be near to all the churches and pastors represented here this evening. Be near to all those who have traveled distances. Watch over them as they travel back to their homes at the end of this conference. We pray that you'd give them traveling mercies. We do ask now that you'd guide and direct. Be near to the lost this evening. If it please you, O God, that you might open up their hearts, that you might prick them, convict them of sin, righteousness, and of judgment, that you might be pleased, O God, to grant unto them repentance and faith in the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask it on Jesus' name. For his sake alone we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I'd like to look for just a little bit this evening. Jesus said this: "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed."
Amen.
If ye continue, ye shall be my disciples indeed. Jesus is speaking to those who in verse 30 says, "And many believed on him." I see especially two kinds of disciples in the Word of God. There are more than that, but I see especially two going along with my text this evening. I see those disciples who continue in his Word. The Bible tells us over here in the book of James, chapter 1 and verse 25, he said, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word. That is one who has continued in his word. Bible tells us also of another over here in the book of Matthew, chapter 13 and verse 23. He said, "But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. If you continue in his word, you will not be forgetful hearers, but you will be doers of his word. And the Bible says that you will bring forth fruit, some 100, some 60, and some 30. So there are disciples who will continue in his word, and then there are those who do not. Those who do not, and he speaks of them in James chapter 1, verse 22. He said, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self." It is sad today that multitudes are deceived thinking they're going to die and go to heaven, when in reality they die and lift up their eyes in hell, because they are not doers of the word, but hearers only. Do you see what I'm saying? They're the ones who do not continue. We see the same thing again in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 20. He said, but he that receives seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. That is those who do not continue in his word. There are those who go back from walking after the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 6, the Bible tells us there in verse 65, he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Now listen to this. From that time, many of his disciples, whenever you read in the Bible, disciples, it doesn't necessarily mean true believers, friends. These are the multitude that ate the fishes, the bread, crossed over the sea, followed him over there where he went, and then they couldn't stand to hear the doctrine that he preached. They just couldn't do it. They detested it. The Bible says from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. So are there those who will not walk after the Lord Jesus Christ? And there are those who continue. In this same chapter, John chapter 6, the Bible says, after these disciples, so-called, went away, then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Listen to this. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Friends, who are we going to go to this evening? Where would we turn to? Christ alone has the words of eternal life. He said, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is those who continue to follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. Then there are those who are afraid to confess him. Those who are afraid to confess the Lord. In John chapter 12 and verse 42, the Bible says, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Those people who are afraid to confess him and did not follow after him. And then there are those who are bold in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Over here in Acts chapter 4, Bible tells, chapter 4 and verse 7 tells us about Caiaphas and John Alexander, and as many as were the kin of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name had you done this? Listen to this now. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, and said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, listen to this, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is a stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Brother, that's a bold confession of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that God will give us bold confessions for the Lord Jesus Christ in such situations as they were in right there, because they were standing before the people that had the power to take them and whip them or throw them into jail. But Peter didn't care. He wanted to confess Christ. That's what we need today. Our rulers, our leaders need to hear this same profession that Peter gave to the rulers at that time. Same one. They need to hear it. So there is an intellectual belief and profession of Christ, but usually does not do anything. And then there are those who continue in his word. He said, if ye continue in my word, ye are my disciples indeed. If you want to build a mega church, preachers, don't use this text. It won't work. It won't work. If ye continue in my word, I want to let you know right now that continuing in the Lord's word, you're going to meet resistance.
Amen.
If you haven't met resistance in your life, you might want to stop and examine exactly what you're doing and what you're saying. Because whenever you teach the truth and walk in his word and continue in his word, I'll guarantee you, you're going to meet with resistance.
Amen.
People today, it's not so much the name of God that they hate. Do you know what it is they hate? Now, it's not so much the name of God that they hate. It is God's righteousness that they hate.
Amen.
Herod wanted to see John the Baptist. He wanted to talk to John the Baptist. He knew who John the Baptist's God was. That didn't bother him any. But whenever John the Baptist came to him and said to him, it is not lawful for you to have your brother Philip's wife. I mean, old Herod got wrath and cast him into prison. Do you know why? He hated the righteousness of God.
Amen.
He did. That's what people hate today. They hate the righteousness of God. And it's just not unique to our day. In the book of Jeremiah chapter 7, Bible tells us in verse 8, behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations? These people come to God's house frequently, but when it come to hearing God's righteousness, they hated Jeremiah for it. And they'll hate you for it. They'll hate you for it. All you've got to say is, it is not right, it is not lawful for a man to lay with mankind as with womankind. And they hate you.
Amen. You're right.
What is that? That's not my righteousness. That's God's righteousness. If I went to a prison where some prisoner who had been already condemned for a brutal, terrible, bloody murder, and they was getting ready to electrocute him, and I'd go join a crowd there that's crying, "Thou shalt not kill! Thou shalt not kill!" Well, they just embraced me real quick. But brother, when I look at those same people and I say, "These babies that you're murdering in their mother's womb, thou shalt not kill," they'll hate me for it. You see what I'm saying? It's the side you're standing on. If you want to take up for the lawless, it's fine. But whenever you want to take up for the innocent, that's something else entirely. He said, if you continue in my word, you know who the righteousness of God is? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 3, he said, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Amen. You say, well, what do you mean? What's Christ got to do with that? Next verse says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Amen. To everyone that believeth. You preach righteousness of Christ today and men will hate you for it. You know why? Because you can't preach the things this brother was talking about a little bit ago, about having a prayer where somebody just prayed his prayer and you'll be saved. That's not the righteousness of Christ. The righteousness of Christ is when he said that Christ bore the sins of his people on the cross of Calvary, and he will bring every one of them in. That's the righteousness of Christ. They don't want to hear that. They don't like that. They don't like that. If you continue in my word, someone said it ain't easy. Well, friends, it ain't easy. Nobody said it was going to be easy. Christ never promised them it would be easy. In fact, he just promised them the opposite. Amen. Said, if any man come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. You see, you got a cross to bear if you follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But friends, let me tell you something. You'll never be more blessed in anything you do than following the Lord Jesus Christ, even if it is unto death. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Amen. Now, I want to talk about two things in the main along with this. This is what I believe. If you don't believe it, that's fine. You can corner me and straighten me out afterwards. If you will continue in my word, I do not believe that you can continue in the word of God without two elements. One of them is truth, and the other one is love. Amen. If you continue in my word, then it is a necessity that you continue in truth. Amen. And if you continue in my word, it is a necessity that you continue in love. It is. Bible tells us in John chapter 17, verse 17, Jesus, in his prayer to the Father there, the brother mentioned there a little bit ago, he prayed for him. We prayed for all his people there, friends. And he said in John 17, 17, he said, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. Amen. So if you're going to continue in his word, you've got to continue in truth. Amen. You've got to do that. There's a lot of people today, friends, got a book under their arm. A lot of them. A lot of people's got the book under their arm. But they don't have the truth in their heart.
That's it, amen.
They don't. I don't mean to pick on anybody. But you know, I looked at a Catholic Bible one time, and it's got the authorized King James in it. It's got some other stuff in it too. But it's got that in it. I had some Jehovah Witness come to my house one time, and I upset him so bad, the leader of the Klan, and I upset him so bad he has never come back, thank God for that. But I was working outside, and they approached me outside, and they've always got somebody they're training. This young guy come, and he started talking to me, and the Holy Spirit, I don't want to get into all of it, but they just said, the Holy Spirit is not a person. I said, sure, the Holy Spirit's a person. And he had a Bible, and I didn't know what it was. I said, what kind of Bible you got there? He said, it's an authorized King James Version. I said, can I see it? I said, do you believe that book that you've got? He said, yes, I do. So I just turned it over there and showed him what the Holy Spirit's called. He. I said, he is a person.
Amen.
And that boy just, he didn't know what to say. And the other guy changed the subject. Shortly, they left. And my point is, they're using the same Bible I've got right here before me. The Mormons use a King James Version of the Bible. Many people have got the book, the Bible, under their arm, but they don't have the truth in their heart.
Amen.
If you continue in my word, you're going to have to continue in truth. There are many today who are holding the truth in unrighteousness. Bible tells us in Romans chapter 1 and verse 18, he said, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. You know what that means, holding the truth in unrighteousness? They hold it back. They don't want you to know the truth. They don't want you to know the truth. God's going to judge them, friends. It's a serious thing to hold the truth of God in your hand and hide it. John said in 3 John verse 4, he said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Isn't it wonderful? And I know you preachers know what I'm talking about. I've had some people, and brother, I don't know how many either. I've had some people make professions and baptized into the Lord's church. Some of them remained faithful. Some of them wandered right back into the life they were living before. Isn't it wonderful when we can see those who have truly been saved by the grace of God, that God has saved through the preaching of His Word, continue to walk in His truth.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
Do you know John? Just the epistles. In 1 John, truth is mentioned 10 times. In 2 John, 6 times. And in 4 times. And in 3 John, 6 times. John loved truth.
Amen.
And we need to love truth.
Amen.
We need to love truth. If you're going to continue in my word, then you've got to continue in truth. If you're going to preach a truth, then the only thing you're going to be able to preach is Christ. His truth. His truth. John 14 verse 6 says, I am the way, the truth. Jesus Christ is the truth personified, the truth and the life. No man cometh to God but by me.
Amen.
I had a young man. It grieves you, friends. I know some young people that in high school, some of them in middle school, got caught up in drugs, and they still ain't over it. I know of some who have been able to overcome it, but they will fight that for the rest of their life. I pray for their salvation. There's nothing that would help them more than to know Jesus Christ. Nothing that would help them more. I had a young man call me the other day and wanted to talk. And I could tell just as soon as he started talking, he was all mixed up. He'd been an alcoholic, he'd been on drugs, he'd been in some kind of a church, I don't know what kind. And he was talking about he wanted to have some kind of a fellowship or with God. And I said, What do you mean you want to have this with God? He went into trying to explain. He had no idea what he was talking about. He said, what would you tell me that I would have to do? I said, what I would tell you that you have to do is you must repent of your sins. And what that means is you've got to realize you are a sinner before God. You have sinned against Him. You've transgressed His laws. And you need to be godly sorrow over those sins before God. Need to confess those sins and trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he talked around about it for a little bit and he said, how do I go about doing that? Better that can put you on the spot, can't they? I said, the only thing I can tell you is the Bible says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. He said, seek the Lord, because He's not far from every one of us. I said, he said, well, how can I repent? I said, I cannot tell you how you can repent. I cannot tell you that. And you can't either, friends.
Right.
Only God can grant repentance. Right. You know what he told me? He said, nobody has ever told me that. He come to church Sunday at one of the churches I pastor. I'd be glad to see that. I hope he comes back. I really do. But the truth, no man can come to God but by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And I have to hurry up. You cannot separate Christ and truth. If you continue in my word, then of a necessity, you must continue in truth. There's a lot that can be said about it. Also, if you continue in my word, it cannot be done without love. You mean I can't continue in truth without love? Not anything God's going to recognize. No, not anything God's going to recognize. Brother Hamill there yesterday in John 15:9, he read that verse of scripture there, but the latter part of it says, continue ye in my love. Continue in my love. Jesus said simply in John 14:15, if ye love me, keep my commandments.
Amen.
The only way you can keep his commandments is by love. That's the only way. That's the only way. Romans chapter 13, verse 10. He said, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. When we speak the truth, we are to speak the truth in love. Ephesians 4 and verse 15. Now, just bear with me a little bit. There is a law that is called the royal law. In the book of James chapter 2 and verse 8. By the Holy Spirit, James said, if ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well.
Amen.
That's a royal law.
Yeah.
Back here in the book of Matthew, chapter 22, notice what he says there, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Bible says in verse 34, Matthew 22, verse 34, he said, but when the Pharisees had heard that he had been put out, that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is a great commandment in the law? I love this. The Lord showed me some things, and I don't know where I can show you or not. I wish you could be blessed like I was blessed. In verse 37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
Amen.
Do you know what? People are teaching today that the royal law took the place of the moral law. I want you to understand this evening that that's not what the Lord was aiming to do here. It's called a royal law because it was given unto us by the King of Kings.
Amen.
It's a royal law. But it is also a royal law because it takes precedence. In other words, it must precede every other law.
Amen.
You see, what Jesus is saying here, that you cannot keep any other law without the royal law. You just cannot do it. You cannot do it. It takes that royal law. It did not replace the moral law. We are commanded to try to keep ourselves from sin by the grace of God. If we are to keep ourselves from sin, we must have a standard to go by. I must know what sin is. I have to. I cannot keep myself from sin without it. I must know what the standard is. Do you know what it is? In 1 John 3 and 4, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. It wasn't done away with.
Amen.
What had happened, the Jews, the scribes and the Pharisees, the Sadducees, brother, they done a work. They got completely out of line with God's word. Jesus told them that you teach for doctrine the commandments of men. You have made the commandment of God of none effect by your teaching, is what he's saying there. You know what they were doing? They was trying to justify themselves by the law. Jesus is just simply telling them that that's not what the law was given for. I'm not going to take the time here tonight because I'm already over time. But Exodus chapter 20, verse 20, Moses told children of Israel, God gave you this to prove you that the fear of God may be before your face. It was never given for them to justify themselves. And you know what? The royal law. Remember what the Bible says back here in James chapter 2? He says, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture. What was the scripture he's talking about? Old Testament truth. That's what he's talking about. Look with me to the book of Deuteronomy, if you would. Book of Deuteronomy. Let's just look here for a minute and see what it says. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5. Old Testament. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Isn't that what Jesus taught? That's royal law. Do you know what the royal law done? It ran parallel with the moral law. Turn on over to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 16. Chapter 30 and verse 16. And notice what it says. He says, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his judgments, and his, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee. But what did he say at the very first of it? I command thee this day to love the Lord. That comes before keeping any commandment. If you don't love God, it's vanity to try to keep the commandments of God. It is. That has to precede anything else. Look with me real quickly, if you would, in the book of Mark. Just give me about 5 more minutes here. I know you're all tired. I understand what this is all about and all the work that the church does here preparing for this. I know that there's a lot of people tired here. We've been there a time or two. Book of Mark chapter 10. You all know this. I'm not showing you anything new. Verse 17. Mark 10, verse 17. You can find the same occurrence in Matthew chapter 19. He said, when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Do you call me God? Well, I am God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. Could I digress just a minute? I think 1948, I'm no good with dates, I am not. But I believe in 1948, the Supreme Court of the United States said it was unconstitutional to have the Bible as a textbook in public schools. Okay? Throwed it out. I believe it was in 1963. If I'm wrong about the dates, forgive me, because I'm just going by memory. They made another infamous ruling. That was unconstitutional to have the Ten Commandments posted on the walls of our public schools. They throwed it out. Here is a court of 9 people they call justices. Does that mean they promote justice? Do you know what they done? They throwed out the law in the public schools and opened it up to lawlessness.
Amen, you're right.
And now people's moaning, complaining, belly aching. What's wrong with our schools? Tell you what's wrong with our schools. They took the Bible out of it. They took the Ten Commandments out of it. And you know the judge that wrote the decision, they've only got one that writes it, you know. I'm not up on that stuff that much. I'm going to paraphrase what he said. He said it is unconstitutional to have the Ten Commandments posted on the walls of public schools because some of those children might look at those Ten Commandments and it would influence them. Well, brother, that's what our forefathers put them up there to start with. That's what we prayed they would do. Hey, get back to where I was at you. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Jesus didn't rebuke him there. And Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, One thing thou lackest.
Right.
In Matthew's, Jesus, in Matthew added to this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Okay? And Matthew said, if thou wilt be perfect. But here in Mark, he said, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come up, take up the cross and follow me. Do you know Jesus did not rebuke that young man when he said, all these things have I observed from my youth? He had to be a pretty good kind of guy. But Jesus said, you lack one thing. All you've done is not worth anything. It is vanity because you did not do it because you love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. You lack that. And he made it clear to him when he said, go and sell all that thou hast and give to the poor. Love, friends, has no ulterior motives.
Amen.
Love does not desire to justify self. Love does not desire to boast. Love submits itself to God, to the Lord Jesus Christ, to His Word. Love God and keep His commandments. True love cannot abide alone. He just can't do it. He just can't do it. He said, love not in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Turn over with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You all know what this chapter is, and I'm going to quit you. I'm not going to turn to another. And even if I feel like I need to, I'm not going to, because I've already told you that. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, notice what Paul said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I'm become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. If I can speak with all the tongues in the world, if I can talk with angels, and have not charity, and though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I'm nothing.
Amen.
Though I bestow all my goods, listen to this, to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing.
Amen.
Everybody says charity is love. I believe that. I agree with that. But friends, it is more than that.
Amen. Amen.
Love not in word, neither in tongue. I can stand up here all day and tell every one of you I love you and walk past you out in the street where somebody run over you and I just walk on by. Charity is love in action, continuing in the Word of God. That's what charity is.
Amen.
It is love in action. Paul said at the end of this, now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. Faith, hope, charity, these three. And the greatest of these is charity.
Amen.
Do you know why? Because you cannot serve God keep His Word, walk in His Word, love His Word, live His Word without love. You just cannot do it. God would never accept it. He would never. If you continue in My Word, then are you My disciples indeed. May God bless each one of you. Thank you so much for your attendance.